Morning. Mora. It's very good to be here. I'm receiving your word, Marietta. I don't see her there, but the new hair will grow. Things will be good. Yeah. It is so good to be here. Thank you. Lori's said lots. And I just want to say, Herman Yolani, bless you guys. They are a miracle. We were in their life group on Thursday night just before we flew here. I don't know, we had 25 or something people. And, you know, you think a year ago they weren't in Canada. We're sitting in their home that they've bought. They have beautiful jobs. They have a beautiful brand new baby. And their house is full of people that are all brand new to the church. And that's just God. You know, when you're sharing coming to Pretoria, and those of you who came here, we are part of that fruit still carrying on in Canada. And it's real. It's genuine. And Rory, bless you. Thank you for opening the door for us to come and share. It's a real honor and a privilege, and it's good to meet you. I have to schmear him a little bit just in case, you know, he doesn't want to invite me back. So just, that's how it works, apostolic. You're getting this apostolic thing. 5 years ago, I think it's 5 years, might be 6 years ago, but it's almost this time of year, we went to Durban on holiday, and we thought we'd sneak into this little church, not very well known. What's the name of that church down there? Glenridge, yeah. Not very famous in these church circles that we were part of. But we got there late because it was a holiday schedule, so they started 10:30 or something instead of 10, and the worship is just sort of ending, and we thought we'd sneak in across in the back. And we saw this guy, I think he's wearing the same shirt then. And he's walking all over the place, freaking everybody out. But he never learned the rules. You're supposed to stay up there. And so he comes straight over. Oh, Leonard, Laurie, welcome. Oh, it's so sweet. I'm like, I thought we snuck in here. And he said, I'd like you to come and share, because we had already announced, I think, or talked about it, about moving to Canada and planting a church. And so he had us come and share. Make a long story even longer, he just blessed us and asked the church to pray for us, and they gave us an offering of 100,000 rand that day. And not to us, but through 3CI to the church plant. And I just want to bless you and honor you. We are here today because of that. God has given us gold in Canada. He's given us people and finance and blessing. And there's just, it's like taking a seed and planting. And what you guys have done here, it's 4 years. You realize it's 4 years? I feel old. Yes. Don't say you look old either. And this month, almost to the month, is 40 years since I got saved. And I just have been rejoicing in that, in God's faithful, faithful, faithfulness. So this morning, Rory asked me to speak on out of the book of Acts, and I didn't get his phone call, so he just left a message. So I haven't deleted it, because he said in there, you know, I'd like, you know, we're just dealing with a theme, and if you could share from the book of Acts. And I think he said, you're an evangelist, so you'll just read a scripture and then preach anything you want anyhow. So that's what I'm doing. Please turn to the book of Acts, chapter 1. I'm being faithful. Actually, I'm not going to read anything yet out of there. Praise the Lord. I love God. And I love this church. And I love God's people. Some of them. I guess Springbok coaches aren't one of them. I've always said, how can it be you preach the same thing in one meeting, and in that meeting someone leaves the church and says, I'll never come back again, and that same meeting someone gives their heart to Jesus and says, I've been out of church for 30 years and I'm coming back. It's just God's grace. It keeps you from getting proud and keeps you from getting sad. The theme that I want to speak on this morning is the church. And it's out of the book of Acts, sort of. I got to get going here. My wife took most of my time. No. The allergies are starting. Yeah. Here's the story. Here, let me just get into this. The book of Acts. Take the whole book of Acts, wherever it ends. It's that much of the Bible. Just rip it out and throw it away. That book has tormented me my whole life. It's 40 years that I've been saved. 40 years reading that book, this book of Acts. And it's, I don't know what you know of our story, whatever, but we spent many, 29 years in Africa total. And most of that time was in evangelism. Most of that time was in villages. And most of that time was wherever. And every time I was in a guest house, every time I'd sit in those little blue, dirty guest houses doing a crusade, and we did hundreds every week for years and years and years, traveled with the Good News Band, all that. Then we moved here and did the Hell's Bells drama, taught people how to go to hell. Don't go quietly. Scream when you go to hell. I spent about 7 years doing that. But every time we'd do a crusade, every time we'd go do a meeting, every time I'd be sitting in the evening or in the morning, usually during those weeks, we'd preach 10 times in the week because you'd do training and then you do a crusade, then you do a school in the evening. You just, I was much younger in those days and had a voice. And every night I'd sit and I'd read through the book of Acts. So I must have read through this book hundreds of times, literally. And I'd sit there and there's sometimes when I would feel so encouraged and I just read and I would see myself like Paul the Apostle and glory, God's just moving. And then I'd see myself like Demas other times and I'd see myself like Peter failing. But I just lived in this book so much. But there was other times when I would just pound the Bible. God, why don't we see this? Do not send me to Omurushaka in Kagera region of Tanzania another time unless you go there with us. Unless you're there to touch people and save people and heal people and minister to people. And I can testify that I've seen God make this book come alive. And I pray and I pray and I pray that even coming here when Rory asked that, I read again. I started reading through this book again. I'm like, oh God, please don't let me just stand there in front of this crowd with dry lips and say some nice churchy stuff. But God, may we live in this. May we live in this. And so here's my message. Is God is building his church. This is not prescriptive, it's descriptive. As I think it was Heinz used to always say, he had gooder English. When I listen to you guys online preach, man, I'm amazed at your vocabulary and the sweet words that flow out. I'm like, oh God, I feel like a hillbilly. But if all we had, I'm getting to my message, it's now 10 o'clock. You can turn the tape on now. If all we had was this book, forget 2,000 years of history, forget sitting in rows like this and the beautiful tradition that we have. Nothing wrong with it. I'm not knocking anything. I love it. It's got life. But if you didn't have this, and all you could do is take this book, what would you say about the church? And because I'm a preacher and I want to stay within 20 minutes, I have four. And a poem at the end. And then Glenn's going to sing a song, and you're all going to weep and cry and repent to Jesus. Is that okay? Yeah. Sounds good. What if you think about it, just the Bible, you just take the book of Acts, just the book of Acts, what would you describe the church as? What would come to your mind? And the first thing that comes to my mind, I start reading in chapter 1, verse 1, he says, in my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach. It's Jesus. If you just take your Bible, what is the church all about? It's about his love. It's about the Father's love. Somebody say amen. Say, you're doing well, Leonard. Keep going. It's about God sending his Son. Amen? It is. It's simple. God sends his son Jesus, and Luke starts this book, and he just assumes that these people have all heard the story about Jesus. And he said in my former book, the Gospel of Luke, he said, I laid out all that Jesus began to do and to teach, and he starts there. The church is about Jesus. The church is about the love of God. And I don't care how long you've been in church. I don't care if this is your first day. If you've been 40 years in church, it's still about the love of God. It has to be. It has to be about his sending his son, his coming and loving you and me, and setting us free from our sins and setting us free from ourselves. You say, well, that's nothing new. That's the point. There's nothing new. The message that the world needs is the love of God shed abroad in our hearts. And if you just take away 2,000 years of church history, you go right back to the beginning when God poured out his Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, and the love of God was spread, and Peter got up and he started to preach. He preached Christ. And they were pricked in their hearts. They were burned in their heart. Their hearts burned in them. And I pray this morning that as we stand here in this church and as we sing songs and as we speak, that somehow, the love of God would just be pressed, as Michael Eaton used to say. Just pressed into your life. That's it. And if you don't know that, then you're not part of the church. You're just in a club. Sometimes it's a good club, sometimes it's a boring club. But if you don't know the love of God, you don't know that acceptance and the forgiveness and the blessing of God, I pray this morning somehow he will take something of what's sung and what has been said and just touch your heart. My favorite messages used to always be the Father heart of God. I could never get away from it. For years and years and years and years. I haven't preached that for years. I remember saying it. I said it in this church even. We were still in the school. I waited my whole life for my father to put his arm around me and say, I love you. My whole life. And I've shared my testimony and how my father's life ended up and he got saved and the blessing. But I waited my whole life. And just saying that, I know there's people in this room that have that same experience. Just to be loved. And I'm telling you, when I first met Jesus, my brother shared the love of Christ to me. That's 40 years ago this month. That's why I'm celebrating it so much. It's like, I don't want to ever get past that. I don't want to be a professional pastor. I don't want to get the words just right. I want to know the love of God, the acceptance of God, his precious love to me. And when I met the Father's heart, the first time, God's love to me changed me forever. I was 15. My life changed forever. There was nothing else that I could do but preach that. To know the love of God, to know his love. And this is a bit of a testimony, but I have been privileged for 33 years, or however long, it sounds like I'm an old guy, in the ministry. I have prayed with people and seen them find the love of God. Whether it's the first time or to return, but just to know his love. Just to tell somebody. And you know, I used to be an evangelist. I'm not that anymore. I'm a pastor. Just boring old pastor. No. But I've had the privilege again this week, well, whatever, this the week before we left, to sit with someone. And they're sharing their life. Sexually abused by their father from the age of 5. And by God's grace, they're just barely able, for the first time, to tell somebody. And you sit with them, and they're beautiful. And I say to them, it's a miracle you're here. It's a miracle you're looking normal. It's a miracle you function. And we'll to, with God's timing and anointing and blessing and all of that, to sit with them and say, can I speak like your father to you? And just saying that is like, and to say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. You never deserved that. I was a cripple. Nobody in their right mind abuses their own child. Forgive me. And to see God come into the room and just heal something. You just think, that I can do for 40 more years. I can't do this crap ministry stuff. Telling somebody, you got to get into church. Don't come to church, man. Go and live for the devil, if that's all there is. But if there's something of the love of God that comes into your life, and it's real, and it touches you, you change forever. And to be able to minister to people that. And I've said it dozens of times, even in this church, to sit with 65-year-old men and to say, you know what? I'm so proud of you. Never heard it their whole life from anybody. Working, working, working to be accepted. And you say, you know what? You are amazing. And to see something of God's love come into their life. That, to me, describes a church. If you don't have that, if the broken people cannot walk in this door and find a place that we're all equal, we find a place where there's no more playing religion. There's no more going through the motions. We're a bunch of cripples. I said, you guys think I think you're all cripples, but you are all cripples, because so am I. And we can come in and find God's love and find his forgiveness and find his grace and find his passion for us and be restored as sons and daughters. That's the church. And I'm so glad to have Matthew with us this trip. It's 4 years ago. It's 4 years since he was able to come back to this country and to be here. And we were here about 5 hours, and he says, why did we leave? I got no answer, son. You see the sunshine. I say it every day. If you people do not appreciate the sunshine, God have mercy on you. May he forgive you. But I've often said, forgive me, Matthew, you beautiful bundle of sermon illustrations. But we walked into the Abba House 13 years ago. And it's not literally like that, but it is literally like that. And you say, 24 little sweet babies. I'll choose this one. Stuck forever. Sorry, son. That's what God did. That's what God did for you and me. We had nothing to do with it. We were not seeking God. In fact, we hated God. We were dead. We were goners. We were lost. We were headed to hell where we deserved to be. And the Abba Father came along and said, I choose this one. This one. I don't care if you're here for the first time this morning. God says, I choose you. You are broken. You are, I don't even want to start. He says, I choose you. I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you. There's people right here in this room, if God would anoint it and allow it, we could take your hands, your face in our hands, and say, forgive me. Forgive me. Know God's love. Know God's love. I pray he does. I pray you feel his hands right now. Just love you. Second thing, I said there's four because of time. Once you've tasted of the love of God, what I read in the scriptures, the day of Pentecost comes. This is Acts. See, I'm I'm still in Acts. Hallelujah. The day of Pentecost was fully come. And the Holy Spirit falls. And Peter gets up and starts preaching. I don't know what else to describe the church like other than what I've already said, the love of God the Father. The second thing has to be, once they tasted, they had a passion to tell everybody. Amen?
Yes, amen.
Oh, thank you, dear. If you have nothing to tell anybody, then I fear for your soul. But once you've tasted of God's goodness, there is a passion to tell everybody about Jesus. There is just something that burns in you that you have got to go around talking about it, telling it, preaching it, living it, enjoying it, being it. Amen? It has to be. That's why I say what I said quite rudely already is, if you don't know the love of God and you have no passion, if you can come in here and sing dull, there's something wrong. We've got guys at our church. Herman's here. He's my witness. He leads the worship, Nicole and him. They sit like this. Oh, bless God. I want to build a whole church full of people like that. I pray that 100 will come. Maybe 500 of those kind. Just so they can see like this. The music's too loud. You're talking to the wrong boy. There is a whole world dying without Jesus. We got bigger issues. We got bigger problems. Well, I don't know. Are we getting our tithes worth out of you, brother? I don't know. What the hell are we getting out of you? Sit there staring at me and looking at me. What are you doing for Jesus? Yeah, but you think I came to Canada for this little thing? This little poochie poochie? Come. Oh. Then you do not know this gospel. This book right here. This one book. You know nothing of it. Those men stood up and in the middle, in front of the Jews that hated them, had just killed Jesus, and Peter had just denied, and he just starts preaching. And their hearts burn within them. And there's passion. And you just go through. I could take you through every book, every verse of this book. That's why I'm saying I'm preaching the whole book. That's how faithful I am. Preach the whole book. Cripples healed, demons cast out, people saved. I love those stories. Paul gets fed up with some old haggy woman that's just, nah, 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 nah. Who are you? He says, shut up in Jesus' name. That's the gospel that I like. We're too busy preaching something good over here. Yeah, but the parking lot's kind of rough over here. You know what the kids thing is? Fix it! See, I get to say everything I want to say back home, but I can't say it. Turn the mics off. I love it. There's this passion. Holy Ghost crazy noise. You. That's a joke goes way back. Where's Colin? Hi. Do you have passion for God? Has it gone out? You see, the first one is the love of God is the salvation. If you don't start with salvation, then start there. Repent, 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 repent. Come back to Jesus. Come back to your first love. Come back to life. Find life. Find it for yourself. Find it. Then when you come together like this, it's just a celebration of, wow. You know, we can think we're doing pretty good when a church is doing well. I hear lots about 3CI, but you know what I hear? I hear about Rory. He's doing well. He's doing, I know he's done well. He's doing well. It's you I'm worried about. What are you doing? Are you lifting up the arms of the elders of this team? Are you praying? Are you saying, God, what do you want? Are you sort of sitting back, well, we'll see, you know, it's a little better than last year. What are you doing for the kingdom? And it breaks, you know, I've sat with some church leaders in the last while. You don't know which country I'm talking about, so sorry. Literally. And I've been so underwhelmed with their lives. I don't care. Well, I got to watch what I say. But when you sit with people who have a passion for Jesus. You know, someone who's inspired me a lot, even this week, is George and Kali. I just love sitting with those guys. We just talk about the kingdom. We talk about Jesus. We talk about life. Talk about how we're all going to resign and quit because we're so tired of this thing. It's a joke. Not really. But this passion to share the message is the mission. Amen? We got a mission. We're on mission. That's the big term these days. Everybody's on mission. Missional community. Mission. Mission. But it's real. We have got to preach the gospel to the ends of the earth. And start here. If it doesn't work here, don't export it. Let it work here and take it to the ends of the earth with passion. I love people with passion. And I've preached about passion here and the passion killers, the things that rob us. Remember that one. I won't repeat it. Don't want to offend anybody. Now you're curious, so now you want to know what it is. My wife used to have these big, baggy, horrible, fuzzy, gray, nasty pajamas. They were called the Passion Killers. What's killing your passion? That's another message. The third one, after you've fell in love with Jesus, you got to start there. I'm going to keep going back there. You've got to start there. Don't get all worked up and emotional and freaked out and I got to do something. I'm going to go to Canada. Fall in love with Jesus first. Get that right. Then when that's burning in your soul from inside, a passion to share, a passion to live, a passion to talk, a passion to be something for God. Then the third thing that I see in the book of Acts, in the Bible, is that they came together. They came together. Fellowship. If you're looking for that Bible word, let's have fellowship. Yeah. George always used to teach me the Afrikaans word for justification. Justifikasie. If you love Jesus and you're burning with a passion to tell people about him, to share his love, to minister, it's going to come to you naturally to find other people who are the same, to hang out together, to serve God together, to come together, to serve God together. So they came together. There was a coming together. They needed each other. They fellowshiped. They blessed one another. They gave their finance. They prayed. They did all the things that are part of fellowship, part of coming together. And that's why I'm saying sometimes as a pastor, you feel like you're trying to encourage people, you know, catch this thing. If they can just catch this thing and just come, you know. But if you have the love of God burning in your heart, you want to be with God's people. I want to be. I'm not here because I'm paid, but you can pay me. That's fine. But I do this because I love Jesus. I do this because I love people. That's it. I want my kids to know that. I want them to grow in that. I thank God for them. Nicole's married, by the way. Praise the Lord. One down. But when you come together, you're better together. We're better together. And it concerns me when I see people who used to burn with this. There's one thing that NCMI and 3CI burned into my heart was a love for the local church. And I sat with folk recently, and with tears in their eyes, saying to me, you know, there's guys who taught me to love this local church, that local church. And they're not walking with Jesus anymore. They're not living it themselves anymore. I just want to challenge you, if that's you, smarten up. Quit it. You know, I might speak on discipleship tonight. That's kind of where I was headed. I don't know what I'll speak on. But, you know, if someone, this is what I had for tonight. It's all I have for tonight. So I might be lost for tonight. So it's okay. But if someone was to follow you around, literally follow you around, any one of you, any one of us, follow us around, and they became like us, like you, what would they become? Because the point is, they are following you right now. And I'm saying, oh God, I say it in Canada all the time in our church there. If we are the hope of the nation, if we are the messengers to the world, if we carry that the truth to the world, you know, then God help the world. But what gives me hope is it's Jesus in us working that out. Through crippled, through broken, through hurting, through lukewarm, he's showing himself to the world. And I just want to encourage you, come together. Be part of life groups, home groups, whatever they're called. Be part of fellowships, be part of this church, be part of, say, just come together. Eat together, bless one another. This church was famous for it, is famous for it. Don't lose it. You know how fast you lose it? You know the thing that puts the fear of God into me? Is I don't want my kids. You know, that thing was, you know, one generation is what one generation tolerates, the next generation celebrates. You know, there's all these cliches. But, you know, if we're here and the next generation is here and then the next one's here, I want to be burning for Jesus. Because I want my kids to know something of his power, something of his love. And I know God's grace is big enough. You know, people always ask me, so how did you get into missions? How did you get into evangelism? Well, you're raised in an alcoholic home. You never go to church. You're not allowed to even after you get saved. No such thing as youth. No such thing as even going to church. We lived on a farm and nobody would take us. And told if you go to Bible school, you're on your own. If you go to university, you'll pay for everything. So what do? You go into missions and serve Jesus for your whole life and drive your parents absolutely insane till the end of their life and they say, what you're doing is good. I don't know how you know, I know God's grace is good enough to cover our mistakes, cover our weaknesses. Thank God for it. Thank God for it. But I want to live something with people and we fellowship. We encourage each other. Amen? We still believe we would go around the world to have a coffee with one another, don't we? Is that still something you believe? Or we just make that stuff up? Glenn, you haven't come for a while. What's wrong? You owe me one. And Pete, I won't even start over there with you. Yeah, I'm going to come and visit you. I'm going to come and visit you. Sure you are. I'm not bitter. I remember George Ivers. You know George Ivers, right? The infamous. He's so famous, he's infamous. But he always told a joke. Yeah, Len. Because he was supposed to come to Canada. Amen? Yeah. The Lord knows these things. But Laurie already said it. He made a good plan for George. But he always joked. Yeah, I'm going to take you to the airport with your suitcases. See you, Len. I just got to get something at the car here when you leave. 4 years later, there we are. No. We need each other. We need each other. We need the fellowship. And Lori shared it, but I appreciate the folk who've come in to visit us, who've come and shared with us, who've stood with us, who've prayed with us. And I'm the worst one at communicating, so I'm not offending anyone here. It's tough. It's tough. It's tough. You got to work at it. You got to fight. You get offended in church. You get offended, hurt, bothered. You know, it's like a family. Not every time we get together as a family, it's just like, woo-hoo-hoo! I'm like, clean your room. Do the dishes. You're not a guest in this house. Fix this. It's not always fun when we get together. But we still get together. We still need each other. Last thing is, for lack of a better word, equipping and discipling. That's what I see in the book of Acts. Just people coming through, the apostles, the disciples, the different ones. Just, you could just go through Paul and Barnabas and Titus and all the guys, just all of them, Eunice and Lydia, and just the people that God used to equip and to show a better way and to set them up for good futures. And to, so if you're looking for a Bible word, it's discipleship. Discipleship. We need it. We need it with each other, in each other's lives. And when I was here last time, a year ago, you remember what I preached, I'm sure. Every detail. But the power of the gospel, most of us understand that. Most of us preach that. Most of us enjoy that. The power of the gospel is all the things that Jesus did on the cross. Justificasi. Salvation, redemption, all the beautiful things. But don't forget the purpose of the gospel. The purpose of the gospel is to make us into the image of Christ, to disciple us, to become sons and daughters. Nick used to always say, we just don't die and go straight to heaven. There's a life that we live. There's rewards to be gained. There's territory to take. I asked George what I should preach. He said, preach, you know, I forget the words. I forget what he even said, so forget it. It wasn't that powerful, I guess. An outpost on that gate, on the edge of hell, that message. He said, preach that. We need to challenge one another, equip one another, disciple one another, so that we have a life to live. And, you know, I'm ending here, but we used to, the word that's going out so much right now is missional. We got to get into the community. We got to get into the parking lots. We got to go out. We got to do stuff. You got to live it in the, yes, you do. But the more missional we are, the more we go out, the tighter we have to be here at home to have anything to say out there. That's why we need each other here. That's why we need to get equipped. That's why we have apostles and pastors and evangelists and teachers and people who will slap us in the head and speak truth to us and love us. Fathers, I listen to your messages on the website. I love it. Everyone in this house belongs here. You have a place here. You're accepted here. You're loved here. You're blessed here. And you will get equipped here. You'll get strength here. You'll get foundations for your life. That's what the church is all about. And I want to close with this. So I'll close my Bible. It's Michael Eaton's book, The Holy Fire. He makes this. R.T. Kendall, one of those guys. He said, like Michael Eaton, he'd named R.C. Ryle, his third book in 1957, the third chapter, was a little bit weak. And then he's thinking, okay, what did it, the fourth chapter? Let me just scan the hard drive. Oh, yeah. So I tried that. Let me just scan. What was I going to say there? Scan? Nothing. Let me scan again. Nothing. It's like... Reboot. Here's my point that I've been trying to get to is the greater the distance between all the beautiful, beautiful things that we teach, that we preach, and our lives over here, how we live. We say we believe these things. Grant used to always say, Christians only lie when they sing. It's all for you. And then you come over here. Well, not all of it. Well, you know, you've got to be sensible. You got to have a balanced life. You got to get the kids, you know, you get the finances right. No, it's all for you. Let your glory fill this house. Let it go from here to the nations. It gets about 7 feet out there, and you're fighting in the parking lot. But the greater the distance from what we teach and believe, and that gap in between, and how we actually are living it out, the more passive our lives become. My English is, the more pathetic our lives become. We know all this stuff. We know it. We study it. We get taught it every... How many weeks, folks, can you get taught stuff and challenged? Come on. Live this life for God. Let's go for Jesus. I'll prophesy right now. This is your day, 3CI. You know, this is a day of visitation. Don't pass it up. There's churches everywhere in the world that would die to have what you have. But if we let that gap be too big from that to, well, how are we actually living over here? The more passive, the more you sit in the chair, the more it's just in your head, the more it's just theory, the more it's just let's do nothing. Last Sunday's sermon was a little better than this Sunday. Len's losing it a bit. You know, he was here a year ago. It was actually better. Let's go have some coffee now. Yeah, but the gospel is the power of God unto salvation for all who believe. Oh, that's a good point there. I read that in chapter 4. Yeah, that Holy Fire book's a good book. I read that too. You still love me. If you're the captain of the Blue Bulls, stay in this church. It's a good church. I'm just visiting. I'm leaving. I pray that God would somehow break through all the crusts and all the stuff and bring us back to what his church is like. It's the Father's love. He loves us. And he says, go tell the whole world it's dying. Tell the whole world. Live something. And you need each other. Stop this nonsense of pulling yourself away and holding yourself away. Stop it. I'm only 55, but I don't have enough time left to lose one more good friend. I don't got many friends. Can't afford to lose another one.